Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, January 27th of 2020. Yeah, finally. Finally getting to the end of January, finally. Normally, I don't say that about months, but it's not like January's been a bad month. It just goes by so slow. I mean, it's been fine. I mean, it's been decent, but it just goes by so slow. I've never understood why. Oh, well, maybe it's because it's so cold outside and dark for so long. Maybe. It's only going to get better. And it's always good when God's on our side. Always. Always. And you can put your faith and trust in God for that. All right. But like I said, it's so good to have you, wherever you may be, however you may be, accessing the program tonight. You know, it's always great. Anytime you make the choice to tune in and study the Word with us, as well as to hear the about what's going on in sports. Speaking of sports, I will share more about this at sports time, but I have some sad news. If you didn't know this, Kobe Bryant passed away in a helicopter crash at the age of 41, along with his daughter, who was 13 years old, along with the others who were on the plane, I mean the helicopter, including the pilot. Sources say that he was flying his chopper. The chopper was flying in conditions for which police grounded other choppers. But what I'm going to do in sports, rather than talk about how he died or why he died, I'm going to talk about the good things that he did. Because there was a lot of great things that he did as an athlete. And when an icon passes, you'd rather talk about the good they did than the bad. That's what I totally believe. Also, a little bit of discussion about football. And Super Bowl for Sunday. And we'll do that at sports time. Super Bowl picks. No, I'm not ready to make them until Wednesday. I'm going to have a coin. One side's going to be head. One side's going to be tail. My assistant's going to determine whether when I flip it, whether it lands on heads or tails. I'm going to make the call whether I call heads or tails. If I call heads and it lands on heads, heads team is going to win. If I call heads but it lands on tails, it means tails is going to win. So the coin's going to make the pick for me. I'm not. I'm going to do it live. I'm not going to predetermine it. And you can't practice the coin flip either to try to guarantee which way it's going to go. But it's the way I've done it the last 2 years of the show. And I know who I want to win, but again, I may discuss this later at the show, later on at sports. In fact, I will. So, also have some other sports stuff. Some of it involves the Tigers, and we'll deal with that also again at the end. So just a bit of what's to come. But before we do sports, yes, we are going to have our time of ministry, including worship and word. But first, we're going to have kind of our icebreaker / my updates. Speaking of updates, yes, Kentucky is a go. I'm going down for a couple of days to see my brother, who's having his birthday on Saturday. Going to be down there Friday night, Saturday, and part of the day Sunday. I'm actually leaving Michigan Friday morning, coming back to Michigan Sunday night. So, to give you a heads up on that, I do hope to go to Chick-fil-A and Waffle House, two of my favorite food places that the South has plenty of. Along with hopefully a local down home Southern favorite. I truly do love the South. I really do. I don't just tease about it by any means. And so it's just awesome. I love it. So, Coca-Cola Tic Tacs have launched. I haven't had them yet. Last I checked, they won't be at stuff. I was in Walmart the other day. They didn't have them yet. Caitlin, have you seen Coke Tic Tacs anywhere yet?
Not yet.
Come on, Coca-Cola, release them now. To everywhere. I don't like these slow releases. I like it to like come out of a can and onto the store shelf. The worker is just in the store just shooting cannons and the stuff just flying out of the cannon onto the shelf. Wouldn't that be nice? Yep, and then the cannons are whatever. So you shoot one cannon into the cooler, and then what lands in the proper stuff, like one drink of Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite. Excuse me. In my world, there is no diet. I mean, Coke, vanilla, chili, Sprite, water fountain. You say, where does Dasani go? Well, if I'm in control, there is none. Because everything just comes from the tap. But Everything just comes right out of the thing, lands right in that cooler. All right. But if only it was like that. Another cola soda that sounds kind of good to me, Sherwin. You heard of Sherwin, haven't you?
Of what?
Sherwin, it's some kind of orange kind. Slash orange-ish, sherry-ish kind of. It's available, like, mainly in, like, the Carolinas and stuff, along with, in, like, Kentucky, I understand. I've also heard of something called Sky, or maybe it's called Ski. Does that sound familiar for some reason?
No, not Ski.
Because I remember seeing something like that down in Kentucky, like about 45 minutes south of Louisville, which is pretty much right where I'm going. But you were a good, like, 2.5 hours from Louisville, weren't you? So still, as I would say, not close enough for comfort.
Yeah.
Whereas to me, Cincinnati's only like 1 hour and 10 minutes from Lexington, 1.5 from Louisville.
Yeah.
Better. But some stuff just never crosses that line. But once you get past it, it's right there. I mean, will it be as good as Coke? I don't know. I got to see if I can find Sherwin this weekend. I understand they got it at, like, some of the Kroger's and also at a couple of the convenience stores down there in the Elizabethtown, Louisville area. Up here, though, it's really hard to find. And Midland doesn't have it at all. Mount Pleasant Bay City and Saginaw does, but Midland, for whatever reason, always seems to be left out of the good stuff. By the good, I mean, like, the more unique type stuff. It was to show different places are different. There's a website where you can find everywhere that has this chewing. I looked at Chattanooga, though, for example, and Knoxville. It's all over, both of them, all over. So many gas stations, almost all the grocery stores. Imagine it's all over Atlanta, too. I didn't look at that, but I imagine it is. It's crazy how many of the sodas got their start in either the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, in the South in general. Caitlin, do you realize that Pepsi actually started in North Carolina, not the state of New York?
Yeah, I didn't.
And by the way, listeners, Mountain Dew did not start in New York either, which is where Pepsi is headquartered, New York State. Not New York City, but a place called Purchase, New York. Mountain Dew was actually started in near the mountains of Tennessee,
really?
Which is why it was labeled as Mountain Dew.
That makes sense.
And believe it or not, some of the highest point in America east of the Mississippi is actually right there near that North Carolina-Tennessee border. So in other words, right there in that southern U.S. And I don't know why all these sodas started in the southern U.S. What do you think it is that all these sodas started in the southern U.S.? Do you think part of it has to do with the heat down there or something? Maybe. I know Faygo started from Detroit, as did Verner's. I don't think it started in the West or Far East. I think it was mainly Midwest and South. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But not so much like far northeast or far west. But Dr. Pepper, even I know they're headquartered down in Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, and companies. I know those are headquartered in Texas. Yep, I also believe that's where 7-Up got its start. I don't know about Dr. Pepper. I believe that was a southern, started down south too. But it's crazy how many of them started down in the southern, southeast, southwest. California is not exactly the south, though, to me. Although, you may say, well, Miracle Man, what do you call the South? I think anything below like 39 degrees latitude. So that means anything starting in like 38 point whatever latitude or lower. North, so like 38, even if it's like 38.99 or whatever, then you're in it. Or like the Ohio-Kentucky line, really. Indiana is one of those, though, where Indiana-Kentucky border is like more south than Ohio-Kentucky. I think like, I feel like that far south end of Indiana, that is kind of southern, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
But not the same as actual Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. And Louisville, by the way, listeners, is about even with, Lexington. Or is that how we just think of it? Louis and Lexi. I like to say Louis the brother, Lexi's the sister. One has a village, the other has a town. Get it? Ton and town, get the idea? Yep, kind of how it. We'll start with all of them, wasn't that? It's kind of. But anyhow, what I'm really most excited about, though, is seeing Ray and my brother, seeing what God has done in his life. Speaking of which, I'll make sure I can tell this. But my plan is, I have a testimony I want to share tomorrow night about the grace of God moving on Ray. I'm going to make sure I ask for permission first. I wanted to tell it right now, but I'd rather be wise. And it is amazing. But I would rather be safe than sorry. So, anyhow, that's where I'm at. I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road, across the road from the Kmart Plaza. And Save-A-Lot. And some other stores across the road from us here. You can feel free to come in and say hi to me. All right. Now, another update I wanted to give you is Wednesday night there will be a show, but it's going to be a bit earlier than normal because there is a hockey game here in town that I really want to go to. It's actually Midland versus Dow. Midland band's supposed to be there and everything else, so I really want to be there. Needless to say, Wednesday show, plan on 4:30 to 6. So we're still going to do a show. It's just going to be earlier. I'm still going to do it. And about Kentucky, yes, I will be doing a show Monday night, as I will be back, which means, yep, there will be a show. And everything will be normal. All right. So, listeners, I want to encourage you to please tell those that you know how they can be a part of the show. The best way they can be a part is to call in. If they want to talk to the Miracle Man about generally anything they wish to discuss, whether you want to talk about Kobe and how great he was, whether you want to talk about other things in sports, whether you want to ask me a question, congratulate me, run after me, yell at me to get off the radio. I hope you don't do that. But whether you want to thank me or whatever, or ask me a question, I welcome your feedback. And it's great every time I hear from you folks. So feel free to call in. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear a prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You will want to go ahead and press 1. You will be taken through a call screener. And then my assistant will let me know that we have a caller. And then we will go from there. And I'll let you on the air and let you have your say. Amen. Now, listeners, I want to sing you guys a song that we used to sing back in the day. It's called Jesus Love You So Much. And for those of you that are wondering, Miracle Man, why is it that you like singing these songs from the olden days, as long as well as the songs of the new? Well, a lot of these old songs had a lot of soul in them. There was a lot of soul in them. They were just so simple. They were just so, it was so simple yet so powerful. And there's just something about some of these songs. I had someone tell me the other day, a regular listener on this program, they told me that they love it when I sing some of these super old songs because they remember growing up with them as they were a little kid and as a teenager. Some of these stuff that we used to sing in the late 80s to about 2000. Then we got into a period where some of the songs were good, but just not the same. Now, we've gotten back into a place where a lot of these songs now are just super powerful. And that's why there's quite a gap between the new ones that I sing and these older songs that are mainly 2000 and before. What I mean is that, like, they came out in the year 2000 or before. So, with that, hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you. My soul sings. In your presence, far beyond your wings. I love you so much. Jesus, I love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever. For you are my sword and shield. Lord, hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever. For you are my sword and shield. Oh, how my soul, and my heart, as my soul wants to walk towards the heaven. For you are my song and shield. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I long to love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. And Lord, I love you. My soul sings. in your presence, flung before your wings. I love you so much. Jesus, I love you so much. I love you so much. Jesus, love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you so much, Jesus. Can't get enough of you. Can't get enough of your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you that you haven't given up on us yet. You're so patient. You're so loving to us. You're so kind to us. Your love is better than mine. Better than ours. And just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would save us, that you would. Thank you. We come to you tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're blessing these listeners tonight. Thank you that you're meeting their needs. Whatever they have need of, you know what they have need of more than I do. And I just thank you that you're meeting these needs. Every need that is decided to tune in to this program tonight, you're meeting these needs. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that we're about to enter. Thank you that they would learn something from this word. I give you permission, Lord Holy Spirit, to interrupt me, if you wish, as you are in charge of this next little bit. You are in charge, Holy Spirit. And so I welcome you to just come in and flow. Yes, Lord. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that, Jesus. And Lord, I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program. I thank you that finances are coming in. And most important of all, Lord, I thank you that souls are coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this radio program. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go open your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Praise God. Proverbs 21. And we're going to continue going through the Proverbs. Amen. And told someone last night, yesterday, over there in the mall. And someone from my church, and he said, "Hey, Rivers, you're doing a great job on that radio show. I'm loving it every time I tune in." And I explained that I've been reading from Proverbs lately, and I explained that we all need it. We all need these Proverbs. Even though at times, yes, it's repetitive, there's something to be said for these Proverbs. And you learn something from all of them. It's the wisdom of God. And other things that are in Proverbs. It's just so valuable. There's valuable lessons in it. There's valuable lessons in the whole Bible. After I'm done with Proverbs, I'm going to break out the Psalms. And there's a lot of great things. And it talks about how God is our strong tower and all those other great things about God. And just about how great He is. And a lot of songs in Psalms. A lot of music in there. We may sing some of them. And I'm really excited about it. Amen. Proverbs 21. Just going to make sure that I read through 20. Actually, you know what? We'll do 20 and 21 tonight. So, yeah, Proverbs 20 and 21. So, we're going to 20. Actually, I just remembered. I did read 20. So, we're going to 21. 21. When I found the first verse of 20, and then I remembered, oh yeah, we read this chapter. So 21, praise God, 21 and 22 is our text for tonight. I'm just giving you a second to find it. All right. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. All a man's ways seem right to him. Oh, but the Lord ways looks upon the heart. He considers the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. There we go again. To obey is greater than sacrifice, we could say. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. The violence of the wicked will flag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. The way of the guilty is devious, but the conduct of the innocent is upright. Better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrel's wife. The wicked man craves evil. His neighbor gets no mercy from him. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. The righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and will not be answered. A gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak, it pacifies great wrath. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. However, it brings terror to evildoers. A man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. He who loves pleasure will become poor. And whoever who loves wine and oil will never be rich. The wicked become a ransom of the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrel and ill-tempered wife. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. A wise man attacks the city of the mighty and pulls down the stronghold in which, I'm turning the page, they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. The proud and arrogant man, mocker, is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long, he craves for more and more and more and more and more. Okay, I put in the other four more. It doesn't say more and more and more and more and more. All day long, he craves for more. But the righteous give without sparing. The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable. How much more so when brought with evil intent? A false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. A wicked man puts up a bold front, but an upright man gives thought to his ways. There is no wisdom, no intent, and no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, that victory rests with the Lord. Chapter 22 now. A good name is more desirable than what great riches are. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker with a capital M. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and he takes refuge. But the simple keep on going and suffer for it. They suffer the consequences. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the path of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul, he stays far from them. Parents, 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 parents. Pay attention. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I want you to see that this just wasn't a poem made up by some church mom or church dad. Verse 6, chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. There you go. Train up a child in the way they should go. Verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. He who oppresses the poor to increase wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both are to poverty. Verse 17. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I written 30 sayings for you? Sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you true and reliable words, so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you. Do not exploit the poor because you are poor, and you do not crush the needy in court. For the Lord will take up their case, and he will plunder those who plunder them. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man, Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways, and you may get yourself ensnared. Do not be a man who strikes hands and pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the money, if you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Wow. So he'll take away your bed? Wow. 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 Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. And then we'll read 23, and then we will exhort. 23. When you sit to dine with the ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Uh-oh. Verse 3. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast me a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off in the sky, just like an eagle. Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will get sick from the little that you have eaten, and you will have wasted your compliment. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For their defender, which is God, is strong. He will take up their case against you. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Oh, see? He won't die if you discipline him. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod, and you'll save his soul from death. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord, with the fear of the Lord. There is supply, a future hope for you. And your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or who gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth. Buy, B-U-I, the truth. You do not sell it. And do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. For a righteous man has great joy. And he who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well, like a bandit. She gives in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaint? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, do not gaze at wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly, in the end, it bites like a snake and it poisons like a river. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, landing on top of the bridging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so that I can find another drink? All right. All right. What you see here, more talk about gaining wisdom, more talk about why it's so important that those of you who are parents, when your children are doing wrong, that you discipline them, whether that's via taking things away from when they're younger, even if they're adult children, if they're doing wrong against God and you know it, talk to them about it. Correct them. Tell them why what they're doing is wrong. Please. Because it's real important that our kids are brought up the right way. No, I'm not a parent, but it's real important. That's one of the areas that Proverbs deals with. It also deals with finances. It deals with how why you shouldn't be why you should not be in relation, associating with mockers, associating with scornful people, associating with gossipers, talebearers. So it concerns who you hang with. It concerns how you live your life. It concerns so many different areas of your life, including job, including who you hang with, raising your children, just wisdom. So many different areas. You can find something in Proverbs. And you can be like, oh, what does Proverbs say about that? One of the verses I was just thinking about, in verse 22, it says, bring up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. By the way, that includes the girls. It's not just for the guys. And I'm sure many people, when they read when they've heard, when the Bible was being written. Now, back in the day, back in the Old Testament days, there was no Bible yet. Nope. People still had to live for God the best they knew how. Now we have a guide, the Word of God. Yes, it contains all the cool stories, David and Goliath, all the stories of Jesus, all the stories about Moses and Aaron and all that kind of stuff. And we've read a lot of that. And it's a lot of good stuff. But also, there's a lot of things also in here about the wisdom, having the wisdom of God, having discernment, being able to tell right from wrong, good from evil, being able to distinguish. So that you can stay out of trouble in your life and stay pure. Because that's what God wants for us. as he wants us to have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. And if you can What did this come on to? Watch what you're doing, where you're hanging, who you're hanging with. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're allowing to speak into your life. You also got to watch what comes out of your mouth. And watch what you think with your brain, too. Because after all, God looks on the heart. That's what he cares about. The most about it was, what was your heart? You can say great things all you want. You can say, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I would never depart from you, Jesus. You're the best. You're so awesome. I worship you. I praise you. I magnify you. Do you mean it? And it's really important, too, that we practice what we preach. If I'm a dad, I'm not, but if I'm a dad and I discipline my child or children, or if I'm a dad and I discipline my children according to the Bible, and I do exactly how the Bible says, and I talk to them about the Word of God, and they're telling them why what they're doing is wrong. You know, lying is a sin. You know, it's a sin to steal. You need to give that. You need to give that this stuff back. Or you need to not lie to me. Just saying, like, if that's what they're doing. But I myself, as the dad, when dealing with my wife or at work or whatever else, if I'm not living according to the Bible at work or with my wife, or anywhere else, that shows that I'm not exactly practicing what I'm preaching. And that can be very dangerous, because if you're dealing with your children when they're doing wrong, the way the Bible says to, but you yourself are doing the exact same thing, and your kids see it, no wonder. TROUBLE. Then you'll wonder, why are my kids in so much trouble? Why is my family in so much trouble? That's why you gotta live it. Can't just teach it at home to your wife and kids. Same way with the mom. No, I'm not claiming to be this teaching how you need to parent your kids or anything like that. What I am saying, I am dealing with, but what I am saying is you have to practice what you preach. Don't just say one thing and do another. Because when you do that, trouble. And that goes and if you're saying one thing and doing another, telling them do this, but instead you do that, then you're just going down a road that you don't want to go down. So we got to live an example. Don't just talk an example. Because you're going to give an account by how you give your life. You will. You won't just look at if I'm a preacher or if I'm a dad or whatever. He's not just going to say, what did you teach your kids? Or if you're a pastor, what did you teach that church family? Or your business, what did you teach those employees? What did you tell them? And then did you do what you taught those employees, those children, that church? Did you live according to the Bible that you, or according to, ethically and rightly, the way it was supposed to be? If not, trouble. Because when you lead a bad example, people are bound to follow by the example. Because people watch. That's why it's so important that we set a good example. Because people are watching. Whether it be your children, whether it be at work, whether it be in the church, people are watching to see what you do. Because they want to be able to trust that you're doing, that they're doing what they're teaching. And when they see you doing what you're teaching, then that makes them more apt to do the same. And that is awesome. And your conduct is the teacher. It really is. And that was just on my heart. Amen. Lord God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord God, for all this wisdom, for these proverbs, Lord God, that as we've been going through them, I thank you that we would, as people, that our life would be an example, a light to others, that we'd be a light into the world, a light unto those who hear us, a light to all those. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name. I also take a minute to pray right now over everyone fighting flu bugs, colds, you know, any kind of disease in their body. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that disease, infirmity, sickness, pain is bound right now and has to leave these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pain go. Health flow. In the name of Almighty God. Amen. And amen. Now, in terms of sports, so, Kobe Bryant was in the league for almost 20 years, retiring in 2016 at the age of 37. He had been the third, he had scored the third most points in NBA history up until Saturday night, when he was surpassed by King James, LeBron James, against the Lakers. No, excuse me. Against the 76ers, I believe, actually. So, that's kind of funny that happened on Saturday night, that he was eclipsed by, Kobe was surpassed by James for the third most points. And James has been in the league since 2003. Kobe was there from 97 to 16, so couple more years and they'll be about dead even. I believe they both started in high school. He spent his entire time with the Lakers. For the most part, I'm not saying it was that way all the time. But for the most part, between the 80s and about the, 5 years ago or so, 6 years ago, there was, for each different period, there was a certain team who would dominate. Example, much of the late 80s, you know, 85, 86, 87, Celtics. After that, 88, you had someone else get it. In 89 and 90, you had the Bad Boys, the Pistons. Fast forward a couple years to the early 90s. A couple years, 92 and 93, you had the Bulls. Then you had the Rockets win two in a row. Then, late 90s, back to the Bulls. Early, 96, 97, enter Kobe. Late 90s, and, 97, 98, enter Shaquille. And the Jazz would actually sweep the Lakers from the Western Conference Finals in 97-98, believe it or not, as the Lakers at that point were young. around 99, 2000, you would see the Lakers dethrone the Bulls. Lakers continue to dominate. For a couple more years, except for 1 year, 2000, you actually had the Spurs, Knicks. After that, Lakers came back on for a couple more years. Even 04, you saw the Lakers back in the finals. Only this time they lost to the Pistons. That series was tied 1-1. They go to Detroit. Lakers lose all three of those games to the Pistons. After that, Shaq Daddy decides, I'm on the road again. I'm going to go somewhere else. Then he goes somewhere else. But Kobe stays. In the late 2000s, they won another one. Another two back-to-back. 08-09 and 09-10. After that, you had Mavericks won one. Then you had the Heat get a couple. Then you had the Spurs get one. Then you had Warriors getting some trophies. Cleveland got one. Warriors got a couple more. Last year you had the Raptors get one. Take one from the Warriors. So as you can see, for the most part, each period's kind of had its dominating team. Each era. You know, by an era, I mean like, in some cases, it might have been 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I didn't say that they would get three in a row, but they would make the finals pretty consistent, you know, really consistently. But Kobe was one of the best players that there were. And I know he got flat. You know, he was a ball hog and all that kind of stuff. But he did. He scored lots and lots of points. But I know he was a team guy. He helped the U.S. win the gold medal in basketball in 08 and 2012, both. Both of them. And like I said, third most points scored in NBA history by retirement. I don't know where Shaq is on that list, but he has to be close. And you know, Mr. Dunkin' Donuts, he had to be close. Tim Duncan. But that was a good, that was a team effort, truly. The Spurs were. In San Antonio, back in the days of the Spurs, when they were really good. Which is why you don't mess with Texas. Anyhow, he really was, he will be missed. Kobe will be missed. And all his great accomplishments. Along with his daughter. Something to think about, all those other family members won't get nowhere near the attention that Kobe gets. By that, I mean all these other people who died, they won't get anywhere near the attention that Kobe will get. Nowhere near. All right. Football. For the first time ever, there is a Kemet alumni in the Super Bowl. Andrew Wiley, a guard on the Chiefs roster. Can he be a difference maker? I hope so. Like I said, I'm not making a pick tonight. I'm saving that for Wednesday. Can he be a difference maker? Can he rally those teammates? The Chiefs get a trophy. Get that trophy. I really hope there's going to be a parade in this town. Or something. Or somewhere where everybody's going to get to have his autograph. Andrew Wiley's autograph. In fact, one of my assistants, who does the show with me sometimes, Jenny, a.k.a. Donut, her boyfriend, I mean her fiancé, Vaughn, was actually on two teams that he was on. By two teams, I meant the 2011 and the 2012 football team, Northern High football team. So he was teammates with Andrew Wiley. And so that is just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Vaughn's still in football now, albeit at the semi-pro level. But he's a Kemet doing great things. And yeah, I know, former, but in my high school where I went, we always said once a Kemet, always a Kemet. Yeah. It's always a cool thing. That's why I like going to these home football games on Friday nights when Midland's home to see who could possibly be another NFL star on another high football field. Four NFL football players have come from Midland. Four in the history of Midland and Dow. Four. Two from Dow, two from Midland. This is the first one that will be in a Super Bowl. The first one. Normally, it won't be the fourth player who ends up on a Super Bowl tournament. Normally, it will not be the fourth team. It will not be the fourth Midland, the fourth of a town alum to end up in the Super Bowl. Normally, it'll be later than that, huh? Not the fourth. So one out of four, that's not bad. One out of four, I like that. But in some of these places in, like, Texas, some of these places in California, that came to the South, they'll have all kinds of athletes who end up in the pros. But Midland, Michigan, four. Four. And we have one going to the Super Bowl. So good luck to Andrew. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.